are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, October the 3rd. And Blake Griffin, not on the court. Should we be freaking out? This is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for spending your time with us here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Wherever you're finding our podcast, whether that be on Himalaya, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Amazon Alexa, wherever you get those shows, go ahead and spread the word to all your friends as well. Just want to let you guys know what to expect from this show. I'm a Detroit guy, just like you guys are. I moved away for about 10 years, moved back before last season. You can expect some fair analysis from me. We'll get some great guests and interaction with the listeners as well. And that's right. Well, you guys will be a little bit of the stars of the show. And if you want to be a part of the show, call in on the segments that we ask for. Call in whenever you feel like it to the 810-666-1546 number. Again, 810-666-1546. Just let us know what's on your mind. Or if you want to send in some thoughts, we will get those on the show as we go along. But today, we're going to talk about the latest of what we know what's going on with Blake Griffin, and also talk about the special guest at Wednesday's training camp. We're also going to discuss what I found has been the most encouraging article that you could read so far this preseason. And then a little bit later on, I got some clips from Media Day of Derrick Rose talking to the media. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that, and also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. But Blake Griffin, the star of the Pistons, he has not practiced through the first 2 days of practice, Tuesday and Wednesday. Training camp has begun, and Blake Griffin has not gotten off the runway yet. They are at the Breslin Center at Michigan State University. Apparently, according to Coach Dwayne Casey, Blake Griffin has the flu and has missed the first two games. Casey says that Griffin is on antibiotics but is feeling better, and it was the coach's decision ultimately to tell Blake to stay back and not get everyone else sick for day two of camp after Blake was not ready to roll in day one. So that's kind of the big news from East Lansing. Other than the visitor that was there, Isaiah Thomas was in the house at the Breslin Center on Wednesday for day two of camp. Of course, that's the house that one of his best friends, Magic Johnson, built. The Lansing native, Los Angeles Lakers star that had the famous battles with Isaiah Thomas. Saw some highlights of Detroit News' own Rod Beard rebounding for Zeke, because Zeke threw up some three-pointers at the Pistons, or the Spartans practice facility in East Lansing, Michigan. Just also wanted to pass along that the Breslin Center, by the way, will be open at 11 a.m. on Saturday for the second half of the practice. That will be a public practice for the Detroit Pistons at the house that Magic built. But Zeke was there probably showing some love to his former team, and also there were some social media posts from the Pistons giving some love to Derrick Rose, fellow Chicago point guard, who was also there, of course, as well with his team. So interesting times in East Lansing, one of those chances for the team to bond, hopefully after hours. I would believe that most, if not all, the guys are staying at hotels in East Lansing, so they don't have to make the hour drive back to the Detroit area every day. But interested to see how that all turns out and what were some of the things that the team did off the court, whether there was some Michigan State integration with their program. We know that Tom Izzo's crew is practicing there as well. I can imagine that one of them has the main court at the Breslin Center, while the other one has the practice courts, or maybe they're just shifting the time slots so that the college team is on the court while the pro team is doing their two-a-days outside of it. So a lot going on in Michigan State. Inside the organization, as Vince Ellis pointed out, wanted to pass along this tidbit as the Andre Drummond contract negotiations are either happening or not. We don't know, but according to Vince Ellis's article over the weekend, multiple sources have told the Free Press that Drummond and his representatives have requested extension talks. The sides have until October 21st to enter into an extension and for Drummond to opt into his year, next year of his player option, before adding up to 3 years of a contract onto that. And after that, the rules kind of change as he can still opt into his player option going forward up until June 30th, the day before the new league year opens on July 1st of next year. But that's when the salary parameters kind of change in terms of the extension that he could get from the Pistons at that point. So obviously Drummond wanting to maximize how much of his contract could be out there and how much of an offer could be made by the Pistons right now would like to at least have those talks before that October 21st deadline approaches as the season approaches this year. And again, to clarify, Andre Drummond under contract for this coming season, the player option that we're talking about is going into next year as the Pistons weigh their future and weigh their options going into the summer of 2021, the following after that, when all the free agents in the NBA will be pretty much open for business there. And Andre Drummond, if he opts out of his deal, could become an unrestricted free agent next summer, and which in case he'll be one of the headliners of a summer that there are not a lot of teams that have the financial flexibility to send out those big offers that Andre Drummond might be hoping for in either the summer of 2021 or from the Pistons here in these next couple weeks. So, a lot going on. And I also wanted to pass along an interesting ticket package that the Pistons have offered out to the email I got. I'm sure a lot of you got it as well. The Motor City Pass is an option for tickets out there. Sounds pretty cool. $89 per month, and if you sign up for it, you're enrolled for every subsequent month. So if you want to opt out, make sure you do that by the 25th of the preceding month, or else you're going to get charged for the next month as well. That $89 per month gives you a seat, basically a pass, for all the games in that month. In some months, that's 8 games, so it's a pretty good deal. For October, that's only 6 games, and 3 of those are preseason games, and then the 3 games after that, including the home opener. So obviously, some months are better values than others, but if you get locked into October, you can stay with the program. What it is it sounds like they're the gondola seats up in the top of the Little Caesars Arena, but you'd have to pick your specific seat. About 4 hours before the game, you get the text message, and you can verify what seat you get into. You can buy more than one, get them grouped together by groups of 4 or less. And that, not only that, but your buddy can buy a ticket, and you can get your daily passes linked so that the seats that you get assigned to choose from will be linked together at that point. So Motor City Pass might be something to check out if you want to become a quasi-season ticket holder of sorts and invest some more of yourself into this team besides what you do on television and on social media, and of course listening to the Locked On Pistons podcast. I want to tell you about Manscaped. Manscaped is number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code LOCKEDON at manscaped.com. You know you need it. But up next, I'm going to tell you about the most encouraging article that I've read in this offseason about what the Pistons might be looking like down the road. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
A little bit later on, we're going to hear from Derrick Rose at Monday's Media Day, but I wanted to tell you guys about the most encouraging article that I read so far this preseason. If you want to get, excited about the direction of the franchise of the Pistons, not necessarily for this year, but kind of going forward, and that's one I read from James Edwards III, one of our favorites, on, I believe this was posted on the Athletic website on Wednesday. So just today, as I talk about this, but as you hear this, it was yesterday, Wednesday, titled, Together in France, the Lessons Learned by Sekou Doumbouya and the Pistons. And obviously, we know that Sekou got drafted by the Pistons, number 15, and then basically was picked up from the airport from New York the next day, brought over and did some media stuff with the Detroit Pistons, went right into practices for summer camp, and then went to Las Vegas. He ended up not playing in most of the summer league games, I think just playing in the one game, just about 15 minutes or so. But from there, much of Sekou's summer was spent back in his hometown of Orleans, France. And as detailed by James Edwards in his article in The Athletic, which you should check out, by the way, kind of our long-standing plug, get your subscription to The Athletic and become a paid subscriber of good journalism out there. And or else maybe I'll just do it. Like I said, I joke with James sometimes. Maybe we're just going to take Locked On Pistons and just read his articles verbatim. So that way you don't have to get a subscription. You could save your money, and then we'll drive up the listenership here on the show by reading his articles. I'm just kidding. We're not going to do that. But I do want to kind of highlight this article that James had about Sekou Doumbouya going back to Orleans, France, and a couple of the visitors that he had over in France. Now, it wasn't Dwayne Casey, but it was big members of Dwayne Casey's staff. Not his coaching staff, but his training staff went over there. The player development team. It's something we've heard talked about so much by Dwayne Casey from his time in Toronto when he won Coach of the Year. One of the main reasons that he was brought over here by Tom Gores and Ed Stefanski to be the coach of the Pistons. We had Donnie Tindall on Locked On Pistons last week, the new coach of the Grand Rapids Drive. He's going to be a big part with player development. But not only that, Donnie Tindall was talking about the gains made by the Fred VanVleets of the world, the Pascal Siakams of the world, when they were with the G League and when they became bit players on the Raptors. And we know that the strides that they made in their careers to become cornerstone players on an NBA championship team with the Toronto Raptors. So we've seen this all happen. And one of the main guys from Toronto's time, Dwayne Casey's time with the Raptors, is a guy named DJ Baker, who was brought over as one of the main player development coaches by Casey to the Pistons last year. And it was the same guy who came home from about a month in Las Vegas for summer league and training with some of the guys afterwards, some of the veteran players in Las Vegas afterwards. And as the story goes from James's article, his wife, DJ, and him landed in Chicago O'Hare Airport, where they apparently live. And Dwayne Casey called him up on his phone and said, hey, guess what? You're going to France for 8 days and spending some time with Sekou Doumbouya. Now, it all makes a lot of sense. He's an 18-year-old kid, Sekou is. He's got to learn not only his second language, which he's working on. He's taking classes right now. He's got to learn the Pistons terminology. It's one thing to learn English. It's another thing to learn it in a basketball sense. What does a drive and kick mean? Of course, if you're learning English, you learn that a kick means a motion that you do with your foot to play the game of soccer. And, of course, on the basketball court, a kick means a completely different thing. So it's almost like you have to learn English, and then you have to learn NBA basketball, which are completely different things in some ways. So, there's a lot of different things. And then the article talks about how DJ Baker and Sekou Doumbouya spent a lot of that time just sitting watching film. Sent it to Sekou's phone and watched the Pistons play last year. Talked about the NBA spacing, the kind of basics of the system that Sekou would want to learn before he came to training camp, and kind of gets overloaded with a lot of different things. By the way, another article recently from Keith Langlois of Pistons.com, where the writers all kind of sat down with Dwayne Casey in a session last week, detailed that Dwayne Casey is pretty much just making Sekou Doumbouya a three right now, and also acknowledging that his future might be more of a stretch four, but didn't want to overload him with learning two positions, so it's just making him a small forward right now for the time being until he learns more about the NBA game, gets a little bit more comfortable, maybe gets some minutes under his chest. But the way that, you know, it's being termed by the coaching staff, and I think it was Vince Ellis wrote the other day about how it's kind of a redshirt year for Sekou Doumbouya, I just want to go ahead and temper all your expectations on what Sekou Doumbouya could be for a rookie this year. We're not talking about the backup small forward on this team. We're talking about an end-of-the-roster type of guy, maybe someone who spends the majority of the season in Grand Rapids with the Drive. But wherever he is, you can guess that DJ Baker is going to be spending a lot of time as well, as it seemed like those guys might be attached to the hip a little bit for these next coming years. And it's important that DJ went over there, and not only that, not only did the basketball things, did the things to prepare Sekou, but also kind of took him under his wing, and to be that guy as the member of the organization who's going to kind of be that liaison for now and that trainer as time goes on. Those two need to develop a relationship. And, of course, DJ is not flying over to France on his own dime and staying in a hotel over there on his own accord. This is all things that are asked for by the organization to owner Tom Gores to go ahead and spend money on these kind of things. And not only that, as the story goes on, a second member of the organization, and that's Jordan Brink, who's a younger guy who also played some college basketball, but part of the player development staff as well, went over for a second week during September in Sekou's hometown, stayed over there with him, went over a lot of the same kinds of things that Sekou did with DJ, but this time spent extra emphasis on the conditioning part of it. Wanted to make sure that an 18-year-old kid who just got some of his first real big paychecks as a newly American citizen and all that stuff Jordan Brink went over there and put him through two-a-day workouts, the second part of it being some shooting type of stuff, but the first part of it and most of the week being guaranteed and just kind of centered around conditioning. So Sekou's coming in with a baseline of conditioning, a baseline of knowledge of the playbook and what it takes to run the principles and know the terminology and all the things about being a Detroit Piston and playing for Dwayne Casey's team of all he needs to know. So again, that's another guy going over there with the expense of going to France, staying over there, all the meals, all that good stuff too. So as far as ownership, coming through with the things that are being asked for by the Pistons organization, you have to kind of applaud Tom Gores for that. And I know it's fashionable in this town and in the media to talk about how Tom Gores is the worst owner you could possibly imagine. And I'll agree that there's a lot of things optics-wise that have happened over Tom Gores' time owning the team, speaking to a lot of the courtside behavior maybe he has, that haven't been exemplary and haven't been things that Pistons fans can get excited about. But I will say, for everything you hear and everything that's talked about with this team, and we got the new headquarters and practice facility opening up in the new center area next week in downtown Detroit, expenses are not necessarily being spared by this owner and this franchise to do things right. And I will say it's a large juxtaposition when compared to the article I read a couple weeks ago in a show we did on Darko Milicic and the things that weren't done in terms of welcoming him into the program with Larry Brown and Bill Davidson and all the people, Joe Dumars, the people that were in charge of the Pistons back then. When he got over here, there certainly wasn't any talk of people going over to Serbia before Darko Milicic had his first training camp and getting him ready for Larry Brown and doing the things that needed to be done to prepare Darko Milicic for his NBA career. So we're seeing kind of a difference. We're seeing kind of a juxtaposition, and we're seeing the importance of Sekou Doumbouya and his what he could mean to the future of this organization. We know that there's a lot of potential there, but we also know that there's a lot of development that needs to be done there. And it's I guess it's an encouraging thing for me to read, to know that this Pistons organization is seemingly doing the right things and being methodical about it, going step by step about it, not leaving the details to fall through the cracks, not giving Sekou his, you know, first big NBA paycheck and then letting him have a couple of months to himself in his hometown to celebrate and do the things that we would all do if we were 18 or 20 years old or whatever we would be at the times that we made our worst and bad decisions. Or maybe we're still making them now. Who knows? Into our mid-30s. But I digress from there, and I'll just say that I think that the Pistons making some good choices and spending some good resources and doing a good job of setting up some relationships for Sekou to be able to succeed as much as the organization possibly can at this point in time. It'll be interesting to see how he's used through his rookie season, if it's a complete redshirt, if he's a G League guy, and when he does get some court time, wherever that court time will be, how he performs and how he grows in his rookie season with the Pistons. But I want to tell you guys about Indochino. Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. Start your style upgrade now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering Locked On at checkout. Up next, we're going to hear from Derrick Rose at Monday's Media Day and also update with you with what Dwayne Casey's been saying about him from the first couple days of training camp. That's up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day.
I mean, with me joining the team, with my confidence, any team I joined, I said the same thing with New York. When I got on the team, and then we had a terrible year. Like, until we start playing games, like, my confidence is going to be high. My confidence is going to be at elite level. Like, of course, you all are going to have you all's expectations, but we know what we have on this team. And one of the reasons why I signed so early is because I see something. It's something that you all may not see, but I see something.
Derek, you spoke about it. You mentioned it about the three-point shot that you had last year. What's your evolution from where you didn't really take a lot of those and compared to other people that took a lot of threes last year, but yeah, getting more and more comfortable with that shot and over the course of your career?
In the beginning stages, it was all about just being stubborn. In New York, I didn't take any threes because I was stubborn. And I was just being stubborn. So it's all about adapting to what I was talking about as a player and learning with the league. The example that I look at is like Kobe. He came in just a straight athletic player, like, didn't shoot jump shots like that, and he evolved with the game. That's how he was able to adapt over the last 20 years. Didn't change his game totally, but adapt in a way where he was able to fit in and stand out. And with me, I didn't take that many threes last year, but the ones I did take, they were good threes, taking the right shots. So it's about being smart, learning the game. And one of the reasons, like, outside of all that is I'm trying to, like, grow as a leader and as a person. So me coming here, one of my goals is to be vocal in the locker room, because by nature I'm a quiet person. So for me to get up to take another leap, it's about being vocal, helping the young guys out with situations that they not used to, and just trying to find that common ground with everyone.
Can being a more proficient three-point shooter maybe add years to your career, so you don't have to go into the paint, take all that counting? Is that part of maybe, was that part of your thinking too? It's like, okay, I need to get this down to help me extend my career.
I wouldn't say extend, but it's just a part of the game now. I mean, me going in the lane and shooting floaters instead of going all the way to the rim, I would say now that can extend my career for sure. That's something I thought about. But the three-point game is just prominent in the game right now. You just have to be able to at least – and people take them. They don't mean that they're making them in the league. You see a lot of games that, like, man, that's a terrible shot. He ain't making more. Won't he stop shooting? But it's about being efficient. If I'm making shots, you can't say nothing. And that's how I want to play. Leave that up to the medical team. My job is just making sure that I'm prepared. What they say, proper preparation prevents poor performance. So just making sure that I'm prepared no matter what the situation may be. And like I said, my goal is just to feel everybody out on the team and try to learn and grow as a player in this league.
Derrick Rose right there at Media Day on Monday. Got to say, still surreal that he's a member of the Pistons. I know you've probably seen the pictures of Media Day on social media, but seeing him up close and in person, I introduced myself to Derrick. He was, you know, gracious to talk to in the 2 seconds that we shook hands and everything. But unbelievable to see Derrick Rose in a Detroit Pistons jersey, and we'll see how it all works out. Obviously, a little bit more excitement than Ish Smith in the backcourt, and we'll see how the second unit and possibly even the fourth quarter, or maybe even at times the first unit, looks with Derrick Rose in it, the former MVP and Chicago Bulls star. But for his credit, Dwayne Casey has said in some of the media interviews in East Lansing — I have not been out there for training camp — but he has said that he's playing like he has rockets in his back pockets, which is another Dwayne Casey idiom to add to the list axioms that he has and brings up. But that'll do it for our show today. This is your host, Matt Shook, of the Locked On Pistons podcast, saying thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with another episode to close out the week here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Thanks for listening. Spread the word, everyone. Talk to you guys tomorrow.